Let's look into God's Word, shall we? John chapter 5. John chapter 5. A wonderful story of healing, and then a terrific reminder of how God operates in His kingdom with His citizens. That's us. Those of us who believe are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so now we want to look at, well, how does God work with us? How does He invite us into what He's doing as an amazing adventure? And so that's what we want to look at this morning. John chapter 5, everybody got it there? If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the chair base ahead of you if you want to look at it. And of course, the important page called the Table of Contents will help you find John. The book of John, it's all divided by chapters, so chapter 5. Everybody got it there? I don't hear any more pages turning. I hear phones going. So, all right. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. At the same time, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. And there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else gets down in ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." He'd been laying on that mat for 38 years. All right? So the Pharisees only saw the fact that he was carrying his mat. But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" And so they said, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was. Isn't that the coolest thing? He had no idea who Jesus was. For Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you're well again. Stop sinning, or something worse could happen to you." And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. And Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Yes, to your amazement, He will show Him even greater things than these." What a story, hey? What a beautiful day for that man who'd been lying there for 38 long years, paralyzed, and Jesus came at that moment and asked him, "Do you want to get well?" It's a good question. It's a good question. Do you want to get well? And he says, "Well, of course. I try everything to get to the water, and people get in ahead of me because I'm an invalid. I can't get there." "Pick up your mat and walk." Boom. Just like that. The display of God's kingdom. Remember when Jesus had prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in heaven as it is in earth." In heaven as it is in earth. You remember that prayer? The whole of the Gospels is about this tremendous experience of the kingdom of God coming to bear, actually being exposed, actually being brought to vision. You could actually see it happen. So this guy, lying there for 38 years, created such a crowd that Jesus could slip away unnoticed. Because the kingdom of God had come at that moment to that person and set him free. Hallelujah. You see, the kingdom of God is all about setting people free. It's all about doing the works of God that will help to set us free from sin and slavery and from sickness and all of it. Whatever evil comes, Jesus, through his kingdom, is upsetting the apple cart with. He comes and he upsets it all. And he sets people free in the process. Now, there's a lot of things that I could pick up on that I wanted, but I don't want to take too long in the story, because the story is only the setup to the confrontation that came with the Jewish people, right? The leaders of the Jews. It's only the setup. And what ends up happening is, because he healed on the Sabbath, as you heard, they were upset that he was carrying his mat around. He didn't even know who healed him. I love that part. You see, I think it's specifically designed to encourage all of us nobodies just to go about doing God's work. Isn't that great? This guy didn't even know who he was. And there he was walking around with his mat. Well, which would have stuck out like a sore thumb, by the way, because no one else was carrying a mat that day except him, which led to the confrontation. But Jesus' explanation is for all of us today to learn some things. Now, just to recap, a few weeks back, Pastor Alex gave a message about experiencing God by saying that God is always at work. He is always at work, always working on our behalf with the kingdom of God to come and bear. He is always at work. He never stops working. He doesn't take a Sabbath break. Did you hear that? He works on the Sabbath too. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus says here. He is always at work. Well, this whole thing is not a lesson on the Sabbath, so I'm not going to go there with you today, although it is a very important thing for us to take a break one day in seven, just to remind you. Did you need reminding? Remember to take a day off. It's a very important principle. And you'll find, as testimony throughout the ages has been, that I took a day off and I got more done in 6 days than I got done in seven. So it just happens that way. Okay, so remember to take a day off. So I won't go there with the message, it could. But we won't go there this morning, because we want to talk about this relationship between Jesus and the Father and what that means for us. Okay? So Pastor Alex opened the gate. He said, God is always at work. And then a couple weeks later, I mentioned, I think it was last week, that God is always at work initiating a loving relationship with us. He's the hound of heaven. He is pursuing us relentlessly with love, as we've been singing about even this morning. And what he wants is a response of love back. He wants us to respond to him with love back. So we respond to him in love. He is loving on us. And when this whole thing becomes the loving relationship it's meant to be, then God opens the door. And he says, hey, now that you know that I love you, and I know you love me, I've got some assignments for you. I've got some things that I have created for you to do in advance, for you to walk in. I've got some works that I want you to accomplish. I've got some things that I've been waiting for that only you can do, because no one else is like you. Say that with me. No one else is like me. No one else is like me. No one else is like me. We are all uniquely made. And God has given us uniquenesses that only are ours. No one else in a land of 7 billion people is us. Isn't that great news? And with that comes the freedom now to do only what we could do for the king in his kingdom. It's really that narrow. It really comes right down to you and to me. This giant kingdom of God. Very exciting stuff. So how does it all work? How does it all come together? Well, my prayer today is that you would realize that God is inviting each one of us to join him in his work. What's he up to? Well, it takes a little bit. It takes a little bit of focus away from ourselves towards him, towards the Lord. Worship that we do each Sunday morning, I don't know if you notice this or not, but if you're participating, if you're actually worshiping, where's your focus? On him. And we do that collectively. We worship together each Sunday morning and Wednesday night and other times in small groups and so on. We focus on him when we worship. Same with prayer, right? When we're praying, we're expressing words to who? To him. And we're focused on him. This is how the walk in the kingdom is meant to be. That's why Jesus started that prayer that he called the Apostles' Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, whatever it's called. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's not just talking in general senses. He's actually talking about himself too. He's including his own self in the prayer. So when we pray that, Val, when you pray that, you can say your name, your kingdom come in my life, and your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. There's a personalness to this that also is a part of the us. Give us this day our daily bread. It's collective and it's individual. So there's a job for us to do as a church. Why have you come to Hinton? Why do you live here? Why are you in this church? Why are you here? Do you think it's all because of the decisions you made? Or is there someone behind the scenes working things out to do and to will for his good pleasure? What do you think? It's his plan. That's why you're here. Yeah, that's why you're here. He's a plan. So our job now as a church and as leadership, I suppose you could say, is to figure out, well, how are we supposed to do this collectively? What's it supposed to look like? So we have all these things broken down into ministry focuses, like community or outreach or ushering, greeting, welcoming. Okay? We break it down into little bite-sized chunks so that we can all participate in different ways of doing the same thing, which is what? To see his kingdom come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven in my life. And in our life. Say that with me. In my life and in our life. Come on. In my life and in our lives. This is what he's up to. This is what he's doing. This is what's going on every moment of every day. A little later on, Jesus said these words in John chapter 20. He says this, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you," to his disciples. So as the same way that God the Father sent the Son, so we look at the Gospels. The Gospel kind of flowers this out. We get to see four different versions of what happened to Jesus and what Jesus did, right? So as we see what the Father sent the Son to do, we now turn around and he says to all of his disciples, including us who believe, "I am sending you the same way." So all the stuff that Jesus was doing for the kingdom is set to be an example. So the next time you walk by a pool and you see an invalid lying there, you say, "Do you want to get well?" Right? Or something similar, right? Because we don't walk by too many pools with invalids lying around waiting for the water to stir. All right? So use your imagination now. Use your imagination. What's your pool? Who are the invalids around you? Who are the lame, the deaf, the blind, the dumb? Who are they? They're around you. And we're not supposed to go around calling people dummies. Okay? That's not the point here. The point is, they're around us. And these are spiritual conditions as much as they are physical in the scripture. There's broken people everywhere. Russell, is there broken people at your work? Don't give any names because somebody might be here. Does the kingdom of God need to be where you work? That's why you're there. That's why you're there. How about in the salon? Huh? Not the salon. What is it called that you do? Okay. Esthetician. That's the word I was looking for. You told me that once and I can't never remember it. It's okay. But you're there for a reason, right? Is it to do that stuff for people? Yeah, it's part of that. But you're there to bring the kingdom to bear. I love the stories you throw up once in a while. This person asked me this. This person asked me that. We're there for a reason, right? Gary, you're here because you're working at the mine. You moved from Virginia, West Virginia. That's a long way from home. Welcome here, by the way. You didn't just come here because it was only a job. You're a believer in Christ. You're a part of the kingdom. God has a plan. You're here for part of that plan. You're here to bring the kingdom to bear. As a miner. Not as a miner as in youth, but as a miner, as in digging in the coal. So that's what it's about. That's why we are here. That's why we have come to Hinton. As the Father has sent the Son, so I am sending you. And then he breathed on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot go about this kingdom work in your own strength. You must have the filling and anointing of the Holy Spirit regularly breathing through you. I love the way that he breathed on them. It's like breath. You need breath, correct? You've been sick this last few weeks, right? Last month. Getting your breath is very important. You got to have your breath. And that's exactly the same thing that you must have to work in the kingdom of God. You must have your breath. And the breath is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who guides. He's the one who works out his will. Acts chapter 10 says it this way. He was talking about how Jesus came as God's anointed one with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. He brought the kingdom to bear wherever he went. And this is true of you and me. I think I've said that enough now. Are you following? You're here because the kingdom of God needs to be advanced in wherever you're placed, in whatever you're doing. The kingdom of God comes to bear. So you need to start thinking that way. And start looking for ways that you can start impacting people around you for the kingdom. With love, peace, kindness, goodness, a prayer, healing, whatever is called upon, whatever the Holy Spirit nudges you toward, you need to do as Jesus did. As Jesus said very clearly here, after this lame man was healed, and they were all upset because it was on the Sabbath day. And he basically looked at these Jewish leaders and he basically said to them, do you really think God stops working to follow your rules? That's what he was saying here. And the answer, of course, is no. My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. Jesus was committed to bringing the kingdom of God to this earth, and that's why he prayed that way, and that's why he taught us to pray that way. That's why we pray corporately, your will be done, and that's why we pray individually. Put my name in there, Kevin. What does God want to accomplish for me? What does he want to accomplish? Oh, as a kid growing up, I was thinking, Lord, how does this apply like in a regular way? All right, so as a kid growing up, I grew up on the grain farm, right? And I wanted to be a part. I wanted to be a part of the grain farming life. And so my dad would give me jobs to do. Go get that wrench. So I learned what the span was. You know, get a 3/4. If you come back with the wrong wrench, pretty soon I learned I should take a couple because dad's not always right. So I'd come with a handful of wrenches and pick the one that worked, right? But as that was growing, I was getting used to what it was like to work on the farm. And as I watched my dad, he would do his thing pretty soon. At one point, I was starting to think bigger than what I was doing. I was picking rocks. Anybody ever had to pick rocks? Yeah, that's exciting stuff, eh, Dave? Woo! Wake up in the morning, I get to pick rocks. Are you kidding me? That is a brutal job. But I did my time. I put it in. A few dirt lumps thrown at people, but other than that. And pretty soon I started getting bigger pictures in my mind of what could happen. I could actually drive a truck, or I could drive a tractor, or a swather, or a combine. I could do those things. This is a farm boy's imagination, right? And I remember thinking that way and wondering when it was I could do those things. And I remember asking my dad, "Dad, do you mind if I move the truck?" "Oh, no, no, I better do it." Disappointment. But I never stopped asking. And eventually, one day, my dad said, "Hey, go move that truck." But he would always follow it up with it. My dad's pretty clever. He'd always say, "Are you sure you know what you're doing?" "Oh, maybe I don't know what I'm doing." You know, I was instantly like wondering. But I climb in behind that wheel and I move that truck. And then one day he said, "Listen, I've got a couple things I got to do. I'm going to need you to plow this field. Let me show you a couple times and then you got it." I get to run this equipment. I get to plow. I told you this is like a farm boy's dream, right? So not everybody wakes up thinking, "I get to plow." I was used to shoveling grain bins out, truck boxes, picking rocks. This was definitely an advancement to greater things. Hey, this was an advancement. And eventually the most prized possessions were put into my hands. I got to drive the combine. $300,000 worth of equipment underneath me. Hat, just right. Vroom, vroom, vroom. A warning, do not let rocks go through the combine. "Okay, Dad, first 10 minutes, rock goes through the combine." "I told you not to let rocks go through the combine." The illustration works very well in the kingdom. Because I believe, even as Jesus says here, that you'll see greater things than this. I believe that there's that kind of principle at play. As you learn to do the little things, the little promptings, the little come alongsides, the little prayers for someone maybe you don't even know or maybe you do know. As you learn to do those things, the Father will come and give you a greater task, an even more exciting task, an even more risky task. And I believe that's how it works according to the Scripture. We're going to get there in a minute. One of the things I loved about Kiwis is they have this great attitude and a saying that goes with it. And it's they'll say something like, "Give it a go." They say that all the time. Give it a go. If it fails, they'll say, "Well, at least you gave it a go." If it succeeds, they'll say, "Wow, you're sure glad you gave it a go, aren't you?" So it's this wonderful sort of catch-all phrase. And I think, you know, we need to have that same kind of give it a go mentality. Just like the Kiwis do. Willing to give it a go. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart to do, give it a go. Are you afraid? Just push it aside and say, "Okay, Father, I'm a little afraid, but I'm going to give that to you, and I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to try this. I'm going to come to the church on Sunday morning, and I'm going to play the piano so that people can be blessed by the music. Thanks, Abigail. That was beautiful." That's what it is. It's about giving it a go. And pretty soon, you'll be up here leading worship. I'm just kidding. Well, maybe I'm not. Could be true. But you see how it works. These small things turn into larger things. This is the principle that Jesus gave in this conversation. So the Gospels are the evidence. Now, there's a great couple of parables that Jesus told to help us understand this principle even more. So he uses the illustration of this king who calls together three of his servants. And he gives each one some money based on their abilities. I like that. He doesn't expect you to get up here and preach like me. I understand that's kind of like number one fear of Canadians is public speaking. Okay, I don't know where that comes from because I've never experienced that. But I know it's a true fact. But you know what? Thankfully, not all of you are called to be preachers. Right? Somebody say amen. Whew! Now, maybe you want to be a preacher. Come and talk to me. I would love to teach you like I was taught how to preach. It is a great thing, an honor, and a heavy burden at times to preach God's word well, to treat it properly. And it's always a learning. It's always a learning curve. You never quite get it always right. But God is gracious and good to me, and I thank him for that. But in the parable, he calls the guys and he says, I'm going to give you five based on your ability, $5, let's say. I'm going to give you $2 based on your ability. I'm going to give you one loony based on your ability. Okay? And then I'm going to go away on a great long holiday to North Africa. And when I get back, I want to see what's happened. And so he goes away. He comes back. Now, you know the story, don't you? The first guy comes back, big smile on his face. And he's got that big bag of money. He says, look, you gave me five. I've got 10 coins here. Woo! Second guy comes up. You gave me two. I got 4 coins here. And the third guy comes and says, hey. And he unpackages this coin, rubs off the dirt. Says, here's the coin you gave me. I buried it. What was the outcome of that conversation compared to the other two? Do you remember the story? Hey. He was chastised. He was called a wicked servant. Whoa. And then the king says, take what he has, give it to the guy with 10, and throw this guy out. No one saw that coming. You see, God takes his investment in us really seriously. Do you think we should too? Yeah, that's the point of the parable. Take what he gives you and freely give it away. Invest it into others. Because if you don't, something is wrong in here. Wow. But I love the ending. He says at the end of this wonderful story to each one of the two that had doubled their income, he says, enter into my rest. I will give, because you've been faithful with little, I will give you more. That's the principle. Because you've been faithful with little, I will give you more. There it is. He doesn't expect you to rule 10 cities all of a sudden. He starts with your ability. What's your ability? Have you ever asked yourself the question, what are my abilities? What are the gifts that God has given to me? What do I need to be using to advance the kingdom of God? That's a great question to ask yourself. What should I be doing? Well, Philippians chapter 2 says it a little bit differently. Paul puts it this way. We are to work hard to show the results of our salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do the work that pleases him. So God comes into your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then his job is not just to make you feel good. His job is to get the kingdom from in here out. That's his job. And we should not set up a dam, and we should not put a fishing pole there and think, oh, this is so good. The Holy Spirit is so wonderful. I think I'll just keep him dammed up inside my life and get a fishing rod and just fish the rest of my days. That's not what it's for. That's not what his freedom is for. That's not what he's given us all that he's given to us for. It's to break that dam and set it free. The Holy Spirit is like a river, streams of living life flowing through us, blessing whoever we encounter. That is what it's about. Huh. What do you think of that? Well, I love that Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Before he even got anywhere, he just says, listen up, you guys. The Father is always at work. But in verse 19, he says, I can do nothing by myself. Who said that? Who? Who said those words? Come on. About who? About himself. I can do nothing. I can do nothing on my own. You know what you bring to the table? A willing heart. That's what you bring. A willing heart. That's what you bring to the table. And an appetite. Where's your appetite? How's your appetite these days? Is it good? You bring a willing heart and an appetite. And you want to grow. And you want to do things for the King. And you want to set people free. And you want to make a difference. You've only got one life to live. Let's spend it on the kingdom, shall we? Hello? Let's do that. Let's do it here in Kingdom, or if you get moved to New Brunswick, for goodness sake, whatever's out there in the wilderness. Oh, sorry. The good thing about it is, Brian, the kingdom of God is working there too. And you know what? He's moved you from here to there because he needs your skill set. And he needs it in New Brunswick. So he's going to rip you out of our tightly clutched hands because we don't want to see you go. And he's going to say, no, I'm in charge here. I moved this guy here. And so now we go, oh, okay. Away we go. Let's get behind him and bless him. Let's get behind him and bless him. Exactly how you came here is exactly why he's going there, because the King has moved him. He can do nothing on his own. He needs the Holy Spirit. He needs God's power. He only does what he sees his Father doing. This is the life pattern. This is the God-focused pattern that Jesus was good at. You see it all the time through the scriptures. It said he would often go away to a lonely place, and there he would pray. He would beseech the Father. What is it you have for me today? What part of the kingdom do you want me in? Where do you want me to minister? This is the adventure of a life. Live for the King. Are you with me? When's the last time you thought about your life that way? Hey, when's the last time? Gord, living way out there in the woods in Brule, when's the last time you thought, what does the King want for me to do today? Amen. What does he want? Some of you might be thinking, you know, this is dangerous teaching. Because what if somebody gets a crazy idea that they're supposed to go and, like, hurt somebody because God told them to? You think that's what God wants you to do? Why? Because that's not the way the scripture works. If God calls you to do something, measure it, test it, the scripture says. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit or the work of prophecy, but test everything. Don't just go off half-cocked, oh, I think the Holy Spirit's telling me to do this, and phew, away you go. Test it. Get it from the scripture. If you don't know the scripture well enough, ask a saint who's an older person who knows the word. Ask a pastor, ask an elder, ask around before you do anything like that. Ask. That the scriptures will teach. It will never go against the scripture, ever. And those of us who've been in the kingdom a long time, maybe, know those scriptures a little better. And so if we sense, yeah, you know, this is good. This is something from the Lord. Then we'll pray on you and bless you, and away you go. Make sure you ask. That's what community is for. There's a lot of teachers out there, and you can read them on the internet, you can look at their stuff on YouTube, and they can teach like crazy, but who holds them accountable? Is always my question. To what they actually say. Don't just take every word that's spoken without some accountability. Always look for people you know and trust who are older in the faith than you to measure it out. Amen? That's why God puts pastors and elders there, to help guide you. So you don't do something foolish or something that's not even from the scriptures. I'm sounding like I'm Irish there. Sounded like my grandpa for a moment. Hold on to what is good and stay away from evil. And sometimes we just need some help. Bounce off those ideas. Get better. Get more equipped with the scripture. Hey, so that you know if it's a nudge from the Holy Spirit, you know it won't go against scripture. And away you go. All right. Fair enough? Fair warning. Some people think that God told them to leave their spouse. I've had that conversation. And I said, you got to show me where. And I couldn't. And I said, I can show you 100 verses that talk about faithfulness and sticking with your wife. In her case, it was her husband. He has not given you permission to leave him. You know what he's done? He's given you everything you need to seek this out, to make it work. Come on to the church. Come on to the elders. Come and talk to us. We'll pray for you. We'll have a prayer team gather around you. We have umpteen hundreds of years of marriage experience sitting in this room. Hey? How many have been married more than 30 years sitting right here right now? Come on. Look at that. 30 times 25. 30 times 30. How many years is that? Lots. There is a wealth here in the church. That's why it's a multi-generational family. We can help the young ones with their marriage issues. We can help them with their parenting issues. We can. When God brings them across our path, we can do it. When God comes and brings someone across our path who's struggling, we can pray for them. We can support them and encourage. We may not have an answer. Just be in there. Just be in there. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. There it is. There's my dad showing me how to do it. Never once actually saying pay attention, really. Just doing it, and I'm watching. And then one day he says, give it a go. And I am ready. I'm ready to give it a go. This has worked out in my life. Very young in my age. This is more now the personal side of this. Oh, sorry. Yes. And to your amazement, verse 20 again, he will show you even greater things than these. It's going to expand. All right. So in my young days, my youth, I was at a youth conference, and a camp that was for families, but I was at a youth service. And it was my uncle preaching. And the title of the message was named, There's Always More. I have never forgotten that message. There's always more. And every 2 or 3 minutes, he would come back to that statement, there's always more. And pretty soon, all of us as young people, we were getting ready. Okay, he's going to say it again any moment now. And he'd look at us and he'd say, there's, and we'd just finish it off. There's always more. And I remember thinking to myself, that's the kind of Christian life I want. And that's a good question. A good question to ask yourself is, what kind of Christian life do you want? Do you want to be buried somewhere in a corner, sucking your thumb for the rest of your life? Immature? Upset because somebody said something to you? Is that what you want? Do you want to be like that? Do you want to be angry at everything and everyone? Because they're not living up to their end of the bargain? Is that what you want? Hello? Good. Because you're welcome to have it. Just don't expect the rest of us to coddle you. Because the whole idea here is there's always more. Whatever it is you've experienced in the kingdom, there is always more. Come on, say it with me. There is always more. So wherever it is, that's what you need to be thinking about, wherever your life is. So I made a commitment then, before God, that I would do everything in my power. If at all possible, I would say yes. And I didn't know this phrase then, but I would give it a go. What an adventure my Christian life has turned out to be. I couldn't even imagine. Oh, that comes right out of scriptures. Beyond what you could ever think or imagine. I have seen things done in the kingdom that I still have trouble actually believing it happened. It's been so cool to see miracles, to see people brought into the kingdom and their lives turned upside down, to watch people turning around a disastrous life, starting to make good decisions, and then eventually, becoming strong, strong Christians. I can't find words in my vocabulary to say how excited it makes me think to be. I think of Warren. Guy came to church in Peachland. He was a drug lord in the community. He sold drugs to anybody and everyone. He was a tough guy, a rabble-rouser. He showed up at church. I don't even know how he came. Do you remember how he came? He just showed up one day. After the service, he comes in, he goes, "What you just said, Pastor, I have never heard before, but I know I want it." I said, "You can have it, it's free." "It's free?" "Yeah, it's free." And he took it. God turned that guy upside down, literally before our very eyes. And I went back after we came back from New Zealand. We went to a little church. I didn't know he was attending that church. I went to the little church with Cheryl's brother. We showed up there, and I look across, and lo and behold, there's Warren. Warren's sitting over there with a lovely wife and kids. And I went over and I said, "Hey, buddy," just big bear hug. That felt good. And then he began to unfold the story. He's preached in that church. He's an elder in that church. Oh, I needed a chair. Because if you knew what he was before, not a chance. But now look at him. And all we did was just do what we're supposed to do. That's all. Nothing special, nothing wowzer, nothing outside our abilities or our skills. We just did what God told us to do. And look at that. A man's life changed forever. Drastically now affecting others. Because the principle is the same throughout the whole kingdom. Freely you have received. What? What's the rest? Freely give. Freely give. Do not hold it back. Learn in your heart of hearts to say yes to the Holy Spirit. I have seen miracles that befounded me. I still can't describe them well enough today. I have seen God work. I have seen things done. I can't find words to say all the stuff that I've seen, done, smelt, felt, heard, watched. Because that day, I said, "I submit. I will say yes." Even coming here. Now, I don't want to say this to hurt you. I want to say it because I think it was true for us before we ever heard about Hinton Alliance. Number one, I didn't know there was any churches in this town. Number two, we've come through Hinton for years from the Okanagan. We go to McDonald's so the kids could play and have a meal. I'd zip over to Husky, get some gas, and I'd leave. I'd see the sign, 10,000 people. And I'd think to myself, where are they? But it wasn't like a heavy thought or anything. I just take off, do what I was supposed to do, head north to Grand Prairie and Beaver Lodge where our parents are. We did that for 19 years. It might surprise you to know that when we were finished at Peachland, one of the conversations we had was with the elders of this church to come here and be a pastor. Just didn't work out at that time. God had other ideas. We ended up in New Zealand. But that was part of the journey. When we came back here, Cheryl and I fully expected to be pastors restarting a dead church in Ponoka, Alberta. We moved our stuff there. That's how we knew. We had started making connections. We started praying. We started finding out who people were there. Some things had already started to progress. One guy had asked me to become the chaplain of the local hockey team. And we hadn't even moved there yet. And I'm thinking, wow, God's already at work. And I found out that a fellow guy, one of my sergeants at the fire department in Peachland, was now the sergeant of the RCMP in Ponoka. So I had a good friend. Not a believer yet, but a good friend. Things were starting to take a shape. And then one day we sat down with the district and whoop, out came the rug. We have another couple we think would be better here. You started crying. Didn't you? Yeah, you did. Pretty standard fare. Because we were already, our hearts were starting to be invested, right? And it's just like somebody just ripped it out. And that was that. It was done. So we went back to our trailer, and we said, what are we supposed to do now? And within a day, 24 hours, something like that, the district superintendent called. And he's a friend of mine from Bible school. He said, hey, how you doing? Hi, Brent. I heard what happened. Yeah, so did we. He said, I want to plant a seed. Would you ever consider going to Hinton? And we kind of looked at each other and kind of went, what? Can anything good come out of Hinton? I'm just being honest. I had bigger visions, you know, like I wanted to be in a bigger church maybe. I'd seen myself, you know, preaching broadly, using my skills and gifts in a bigger arena. God had other plans. And lo and behold, we came here, met with Dave at Dairy Queen, Dave Newman. And the more we talked, the more it seemed like, I think God's in this. And then we had the interview. Les, that was the longest interview I have ever been in. I think it was like 3 hours. Did it actually have an interview in it? Or was it just guys sitting around a table praying with each other, ministering to each other? It was bizarre. And at the end of it, I walked away and said to Cheryl, that was the strangest interview. I don't even think they asked me like 3 questions. It was like we just all knew. And instantly our hearts started to bond. Isn't that cool? Now, here we are, 2 years in. We got an awesome young couple helping us out. We got a fantastic board of elders. We've got a couple of newbies coming into the eldership that need your prayers, by the way. That's why that's in that, that's why that blue paper's in your bulletins. Pray for them. We lost one already. Pray that nobody else from that list moves. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Whatever God wants, right? What an adventure we've been on. What? Look, at you guys are here. So many new faces are here. Hey, new faces. It's a little sparse today because maybe the cold weather, but and trips to Vuelta, Mexico, and other places. And after 2 years, I wrote my AGM report, and as I finished it up, I began to pray in my spirit. And in my flesh, I'm funny in my flesh this way. I look at it and I go, wow, look at all God's done. And my first thought after that is, what if he stops doing it? But that's my thought, right? I'm just being honest, just being forthright. This is what I thought. What if he stops? What if he has other things? I'm thinking, no, I'm going to start praying for more. Praying for more. Because my uncle once preached a sermon that affected my life to a massive degree, beyond what I could ever think or imagine. He has done even greater things, and he is going to do even greater things than this. Are you with me? Are you excited? The kingdom of God has come here. He was already here. We're just tapping in. We're just tapping in at our various levels of giftedness and abilities, and we're working together to see his kingdom advanced here. Because one day, as we sang, come Lord Jesus, one day that's actually going to happen. It's really going to happen, as in physically going to happen. Right now we're praying for it spiritually, right? We're praying for the king and his kingdom to come. Hallelujah. But one day, he's going to crack the sky, and he's going to hold a meeting, and he's going to look us in the eyes, and he's going to say, how'd it go? How'd it go? And we're going to say, whoo, I can't even carry it, Lord. Or we're going to say, well, you gave me something, I buried it. Don't be too mad. I know who I don't want to be. God is always at work. He loves us. And he invites us in. He invites us in. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you. It's really all I can say. It's just thank you. Thank you. There's always more. There's greater things. There's more in the kingdom for us to experience and more for us to do and more work for us to accomplish and work for the night is coming. It's coming. The day is coming when the trumpet will sound and we all hang up our plowshares. Psh, done. And we look you in the eyes and we receive your words. Our prayer is you would say, well done. Well done, good, faithful servant. There's even more. Father, don't stop here. Don't stop in this place. Keep pushing us. Keep molding us. Keep calling us to knees of prayer and fasting. Keep putting things before us that shake us out of our comfortable zones. Move us. Enable us to be like the Kiwis, just to give it a go. And may we say yes to whatever it is you've called us to do by your power and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.